If you know 80s music, you know The Bangles, number one hit from 1985.
Walk like an Egyptian.
But The Bangles' place in rock history rests on more than just a novelty single. They were one of the first all-female bands to transcend that patronizing label, girl group. They dominated the charts for the last half of the 1980s, but they went the way of most bands and broke up. Now, after a 15-year hiatus, The Bangles are back with an album of new songs. NPR's Netta Ulamy reports.
The Bangles sashayed straight out of the new wave scene in 1980s Los Angeles. They first called themselves The Bangs, but they always wanted to be like the Beatles. Although they wrote their own catchy songs and played their own instruments, they weren't above hiring stylists even before nabbing a record contract. The Bangles were Debbie Peterson, Vicki Peterson, Michael Steele, and Susanna Hoffs. They produced 5 top 10 hits, sold out stadiums, and charmed the critics. Guitarist Vicki Peterson.
It was like being on this giant wave, and you had to keep riding on the wave, even though all of a sudden it started going in a direction that we didn't even like anymore.
Right.
Our choice was to either keep riding or to get off the wave.
Or wipe out.
Yeah,
literally.
Get Maytagged, as they say down Newport Beach. And it was a very intense situation to be in.
Too intense, as it turned out. The Bangles' breakup was messy, prolonged, and played out in virtually every rock magazine and later on VH1's Behind the Music. On that show, Steve Bodding, a former road manager and now a Bangles husband, faulted a music industry geared to making just one of the women a star.
Susanna was getting most of the attention, plus the fact all the singles that were released featured her voice. And so that didn't sit well with the rest of the band.
Yeah, this band needed to be in therapy, starting probably 1984.
Some of us were.
That's the Bangles promoting their new album, Doll Revolution. The title tune, by Elvis Costello, was written for an as-yet-unproduced TV show about an all-female band. It's a sardonic comment on girl band glamour. Before getting together for a reunion tour in 2000, the Bangles didn't even speak for 8 years. The only thing they really shared, besides the inevitable tag of ex-Bangle, was a sense of unfinished business. At a time when every other middle-aged rock band seems to be reuniting to cash in on boomer nostalgia, Vicki Peterson insists the Bangles coming together was more about closing old wounds.
In one of our first sit-down meetings together, the four of us, we actually did almost take a psychiatric approach where we made a list of our fears and our desires. Is that what it was? Yeah. And
wishes.
Wishes and fears. You know, what would you like to have happen? What are you afraid of have happening?
The problem was, those fears and desires were sometimes the same thing. The Bangles had been scorched once by success, and they didn't want to make the same mistakes again. For starters, they didn't want to recreate the sterile studio environment that produced their hits.
When you're in the regular studio and you're in that dark sort of gray foam room and there's all these strangers walking through carrying these huge cables and things, and it's not really your spot, you know, you've invaded someone else's space.
So the Bangles rented a Beverly Hills ranch house, insulated the bedroom, and recorded their album there.
It really made a difference for us.
It was kind of like going back to the garage where we started, except it was slightly cushier.
A really nice garage.
While the musicians laid down their tracks, their kids and dogs had the run of the house. Making the album was actually fun, says Michael Steele.
Except for those moments where we'd go, wait, we're not suffering. We're not in great psychic agony. What's wrong? Is it not coming out well?
It's not good.
Their suffering in the 1980s produced some great music, says Peter Mercer Taylor. He's a professor of musicology who just finished a book on Felix Mendelssohn. He's also written an academic article called Music from the Bell Jar, Autonomy and Resistance in the Music of the Bangles. He says the Bangles deserve to be taken seriously for the songs they wrote and the songs they had the sense to record, like Manic Monday.
Even when they were facing the worst kinds of degradation, having interviewers ask them which one of them slept with Prince to get him to write the song, nonetheless, it's a wonderful song, and it's a song that really does seem to address something about the experience of working women, of women facing just the kind of psychological ruin of pink collar work that I'm not sure I'd ever quite heard in a song before.
As they've hit the road again, the Bangles have discovered they attract attention from more than the die-hard fans of a generation ago. They've become an object of worship for young men.
We're not complaining.
We're not complaining. It's what we call the Ashton factor. You know, the 40-something women rockers with the, in the front three rows are 23-year-old boys, guys. It's interesting.
Being in their 40s isn't something the Bangles specifically explore in their music. They've never been particularly confessional. But Peter Mercer Taylor says their music has matured, and it's not easy to pin down.
When we come to a song like I Will Take Care of You, it is this kind of bedroomy song where it's talking about, you know, asking somebody to close their eyes and just relax and be with them and so forth. But at the same time, the lyrics are persistently ambiguous. It's not at all clear what this song is about. It might be a silly love song. It might be a song about death. It might be a song about religion.
One thing the Bangles aren't ambiguous about is their pleasure in playing together again. They say their renewed bond as a band comes from the fact that their entire lives are no longer consumed by rock. Instead, they're rock moms. And, says Susanna Hoffs, now they have families of their own, they have a better idea how to be a family together.
We come together as four women who are partners, who are friends, who are kind of a family, and we support each other and we work through things together. And I think that has really been the key to why it's working so well now.
And the bandmates have come not only to accept, but even embrace their new identities as former ex-Bangles. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
More music from Doll Revolution can be found at npr.org.